Hi, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, the Marketing Coordinator for Unique Training and Development, and I'm here with Kirk Langford, our General Manager. Welcome,
hey,
Kirk.
Folks. Hi, Suzanne.
Thanks for coming on again
yes,
to the show.
Happy to be here.
So today we're going to talk about improving employee performance management. Can you please tell us, you know, what's it like out there? What are people currently doing, organizations currently doing to manage their employee performance?
Yeah. So that's a good question to start it off, sort of the lay of the land or the state of affairs. I think what's interesting about employee performance management is that it's traditionally been a bit of a check the box task, a bit of a just a paperwork exercise where a manager is expected to manage the performance or measure the performance of their direct reports from time to time. Usually it's annually. And so it becomes kind of a passive exercise, right? It's sort of you fill out this form. Here's what they're doing well. Here's what they're not doing well. They get a copy of it and sort of away we go and we go back to our regular lives.
Okay.
Now, that sounds all kind of a little bit
mundane, a little blurry.
Yeah. Pardon me. It sounds a little blurry. It sounds a little bit mundane. It certainly is getting better, especially kind of in certain fields more than others where it's a much more active exercise, I'd say. But yeah, I think we still see a lot of organizations, especially maybe ones that don't have a very robust learning and development team or training and development or an HR department, where we still see it sort of done as a, well, we're supposed to do it because we're supposed to take care of the employee performance management.
Right.
So we do it. But at the end of the day, is it something that actually helps improve the organization? Well, it depends on how you do it. So I think we would still see a lot of organizations that aren't doing it in a very meaningful way. They're doing it in a very passive way.
Okay, so when you say, when you put it kind of that way, I'm thinking like when we do quarterly evaluations, like, you know, even you and I, like you will sit me down and we'll talk about what I'm doing right. So is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And that just becomes kind of like a checkbox way of managing your people. Okay, so what are some techniques that organizations can use that aren't just, like, would you shake it up? Maybe a couple different exercises, you know, make it fun?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
for the employees?
I suppose it's a bit of a tricky thing to make fun, right? Because anytime you say to an employee, hey, let's do a little bit of a performance review, there's always those nerves, right? Of what if I'm not doing as well as I think I am? Or what if they bring up things that might be difficult for me to change, difficult for me to work on? What if we don't agree? What if I think there's something that I'm actually doing just fine, but they've decided that I need to improve on it. Or what if the direction that they see me going in isn't the direction that I see myself going in? You know, performance management, performance reviews and performance management is a great opportunity to have those important discussions. And so, you know, to your question of what are some techniques, I think it's fine to have some sort of a form or some sort of a checklist, but you want to make sure that it's an active conversation. One of the best ways that you can, what best things you can do, and we see a lot of organizations doing this, is having it be a joint exercise. So, for example, I might give you a checklist of here's your job description, right? So here's each of the items that we've asked you to do. I'd like you to rate yourself on how you think you're doing on maybe a scale of 1 to 5. And then I'm going to rate you. And then we're going to sit down and we're going to compare the results. And we're going to say, oh, you gave yourself a 2 here. I actually think you're doing a great job. I'm giving you a 4. Let's talk about where you think you need further improvement when I'm actually seeing that you're doing a great job.
Right.
So maybe our expectations weren't aligned. So one way is this idea of not just the manager ranking or rating or evaluating the employee, but actually evaluating themselves and then the manager doing the same and then comparing notes. Because that's where we can notice discrepancies, and that's where we can then say, oh, actually, something that I thought I needed to work on, my manager is actually saying, I'm really doing a great job. Maybe there's something else that I thought I was doing pretty well, and instead my manager said, oh, there's some tweaks we could do, some improvement that could be found, right?
Okay.
So that's one thing. I think another thing is making it a regular conversation. And so maybe this isn't a technique as much as a frequency thing, right? I think what we want to think about is all too often we do the annual performance review.
Right.
We do it that one time a year.
Why leave it so long?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you're working out and I know you go to a trainer, imagine you were doing something, you were lifting and you were lifting wrong. And your personal trainer waited 6 months or even worse, a year to say, oh, by the way, Suzanne, when you're doing those squats, you got to make sure you bend this way or move this way. You're going to go,
well, my body just got used to those habits. Those habits are already built in, right?
Yeah, your body's going to go, well, okay, now I've gotten used to this wrong way of doing it, which then makes it harder to change the habit.
Yeah,
but you're also going to go, why didn't you tell me the first time you saw me doing it that way?
Absolutely.
Or you're going to go, oh, that pain in my leg, that's why I've been feeling that, right?
Right?
Because I've been lifting wrong. The same thing applies when we talk about performance management and sort of correcting performance. So if I see someone doing something maybe the wrong way or maybe in a way, especially when we talk about manufacturing, maybe in a way that's not safe, for example, we need to talk about it right away. It shouldn't be something that's saved for the annual performance review where then they're getting this feedback and being told, oh, so the way I've been doing it for 3 or 6 or 9 months,
right.
Now I find out it's wrong. Or
now
that you
I know that that's what's been stressing me out about my job is because I haven't been doing it properly
and
I didn't know. So
that's
what would you say to someone who now has to have this conversation with the employee? Like how would you go about, is there a way to approach those situations? Say you're not like a super confident manager, right?
Yeah.
And now you have to, you know, maybe it's not your strong suit to go have potentially confrontational discussions.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would say, first of all, is don't see it as something confrontational or try not to go into it assuming it's going to be confrontational.
Right.
I think we get really scared to give feedback, whether it's constructive feedback or not. We hope it's usually constructive feedback, but we're so afraid that people are going to get really upset or they're going to say, that's wrong, I don't actually do that, you know, you're the problem. Most of the time when we give feedback, people, even if they don't necessarily take it super well, even if they don't go, thanks for that feedback, they're at least listening and they're going, okay, noted, you know, you're the manager, you're my boss, you're the one that kind of tells me what I need to do. So if you're telling me to do something different, even if I'm a little bit upset in the moment, even if I don't take it super well, I'm still going to listen for the most part and go, you know what? They're bringing it up. I got to change my behavior. And so what I think happens is we get so worried about the fear of how they're going to take it that we'd rather just not tell them at all. Instead of going, you know what? Sometimes we're going to give feedback and it's going to be a challenge, but we need to have courage to do it and know that most of the time there will at least be a change in their behavior.
Right.
And so we can't always expect them to have a really great reaction because sometimes we are sort of saying, hey, the way you do it is wrong. And that doesn't feel good to hear that. And so we want to deliver it, I think, in a way that's supportive and constructive. So, you know, to your original question there of what would you suggest, come from an angle of support. Don't come from an angle of you're doing it wrong and I'm here to fix it because you're doing everything wrong. It's more, how can we make this better together? Yeah. And, you know, what are the benefits of doing it this better way? Is it going to increase production? Is it going to decrease mistakes or waste, for example? Mm-hmm. So having an approach that comes from a place of I want to help you do better as opposed to I have to fix your mistakes, I think automatically sets up the framework for that conversation
to
be much
more
positive.
More positive and constructive and more coaching.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, it's a coaching conversation rather than
a disciplinary action for them doing something wrong.
That's right. You got it.
So what could be some challenges? You'd mentioned one earlier or something that you had said earlier kind of made me think about this. Earlier you had said, make it more of a active participation, right? Where you kind of rate yourself and then your manager also rates you too. So, and you'd given the example of like, I rate myself at a 2 and you think I'm actually doing much better.
Yeah.
So you think I'm a 4.
Yeah.
Now what happens, I imagine there's going to be some challenges is when someone thinks that they're doing really great.
Yeah.
And then,
they're not doing as great as they think they are.
They're not doing as great. So again, like you said, this is probably going to be another coaching conversation.
Yeah.
But are there other challenges? So that's maybe one challenge that could come from that. Are there other challenges that could come from?
Well, so I think having, so one of the biggest ones I would say, Suzanne, it's really a good question. One of the biggest ones is that often we do things in a passive way because it's quicker and it's easier. So if I say, Suzanne, time for your performance review, you know, and I give you the checklist and I get the checklist as your manager, I check it off and I hand it to you.
Right.
I took 15 minutes. I thought about your performance, but I did a bunch of check marks and boxes and I rated you and okay, I email it to you. Any questions? No. Great. Let's move on with our year. See you next year. Right?
Right.
It's quick and easy. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that that's not going to lead to real change. That's not going to lead to real improvement.
Right. Companies who need...
So one of the challenges, I think, is that really impactful, meaningful employee performance conversations are exactly that, conversations. They take time. If I'm going to say, I want you to evaluate yourself, I'm then going to evaluate you, we're going to meet to discuss what was different or what was the same. We're going to have a follow-up conversation in 6 weeks to see if some of the the next steps we identified are being followed through on, see if you need support.
Great tip. Yeah.
Instead of an annual performance review, we're going to do monthly check-ins so that I can give you feedback sooner.
Right.
All of that, as you can imagine, as a manager, takes up more time. So it's a more time-consuming process, but I think what you see is that the investment in your people will pay off. Because, again, you're not coming to the annual performance review, giving them a laundry list of things that they're not doing right or need to change,
right,
and having them feel somewhat blindsided, and then not even necessarily having a conversation. So I think one of the biggest challenges is if we're used to that more passive process, we can get very efficient with it.
Right.
But sometimes when it comes to employee performance management, it can't be all about efficiency. It needs to be about more, in fact, effectiveness. How effective is our employee performance management? Are we actually moving the needle and making things better and making our employees better? Because if we're not doing that, then whatever system we have has to change. So that might mean deeper conversations, more frequent conversations, sitting down more often and providing feedback, even though it's hard.
Wow.
So I think that's one piece of it. The other convenient thing about a passive process is because there's less conversation, if, like you said, you know, you're a little bit afraid of confrontation,
right,
it allows you to avoid it, right?
Right.
I'm just going to put
it
on a piece of paper and send it off to you, and away we go.
Right.
If we have to have a tough conversation where I have to say, Suzanne, I really appreciate you, but we have to talk about a couple of things that I need you to either do a little bit differently, or maybe we need to focus on safety, or I've noticed you've been coming back late from your breaks. Those are tricky conversations,
right,
but we have to have them if we really want to see the change that we need to see in the organization.
Great. Yeah. Thanks so much. These are great strategies and tips. And there was a lot of information that our listeners can pull from here. So thanks so much, Kirk.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, so next time we chat, we'll chat.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Bye.